Morning. Time is 9 o'clock, and I will call this meeting of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection to order. Welcome everyone in the room. It's great to have such a goodly number of people here with us today as we discuss the business of the fire service in the state of Texas. Thank you all for taking some time out of your day to be here, and I know some of you traveled really far to get here. Before we get into our agenda, I would like to make a statement before we get to aisle number one, and this is just take it as it is. No commissioner, staff member of the agency, or any other person in attendance at this meeting shall be required to participate in any invocation, and such decisions shall have no impact on the ability of the individual to participate in the agency's business. If anyone wishes to exit the room during the invocation, please do so. Please feel free to re-enter after the invocation. And with that having been stated, I would like to ask Chief Hines from the Snyder Fire Department to please step to the podium and offer our invocation. Please rise.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we come to you at this time. Lord, we just thank you for this great state we live in. Lord, we just ask you to be with the ones that are doing business. Lord, to look to you for wisdom and guidance. Lord, we ask you to be with all of our first responders, Lord, and keep them safe and healthy. Lord, we just ask you to bless us, Lord. Just continue to help us to be the light in the time of darkness on the calls we go on. Lord, we just ask you for your forgiveness. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you will, please join me as we pay our respects to the flag of our country.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now the flag of our state.
Honoring the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. You may be seated. We will move to aisle number two.
Roll call for a quorum and excuse Commissioner absences, if any. Commissioner Cantu.
Here.
Commissioner Coatney.
Here.
Commissioner DeVillas.
Here.
Commissioner Friedeck.
Here.
Commissioner Glenn.
Here.
Commissioner Hamilton.
Here.
Commissioner Johnson.
Here.
Commissioner Morgan is here. Commissioner Smith.
Here.
Commissioner Steelman.
Here.
Commissioner Vandegrift.
Here.
Commissioner Wilson.
Here.
All right, commissioners, everyone's present. Thank you for being here. We had a pretty productive workshop yesterday that we all participated with, and again, I appreciate your service. We'll move to aisle number three.
Approve the commission meeting minutes of the May 16th, 2024 meeting.
Okay. Hopefully everyone's had the opportunity to review the minutes from our last meeting back in May. And unless there's any questions, I'll entertain a motion to approve those.
So
moved. Motion by Commissioner Wilson, I believe second by Commissioner Coatney. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The motion passes. Item four.
Report from the Budget and Strategic Plan Ad Hoc Subcommittee. The subcommittee does not have anything to report unless staff has anything.
Do not, and hopefully everybody likes the new format that we're using. That came from some meetings we had with the committee and working with our finance team.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for that. We'll move down to number five.
Reports from fire service interest groups and agencies on matters relating to their specific organizational purposes, functions, activities, and objectives, including reports from TEKS, the Texas Fire Chiefs Association, the Texas State Association of Firefighters, the State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association of Texas, the Texas Fire Marshals Association, the Texas Association of Fire Educators, the Texas A&M Forest Service, National Fire Protection Association, Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, the Center for Public Safety Excellence, the State Fire Marshal's Office, and the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. The initial report from the Firefighter Cancer Support Network will be added to the list.
Okay. Is there anyone from TEKS that would like to speak?
Want me to say anything?
Sure.
Well, since there's nobody here, I'm from TEKS. So we had a good summer school. Our industrial and municipal schools were pretty full. We had mostly a return post-COVID to a full staffing of training. We had the opportunity to do some new training as well. And we've been working with the commission on specific training targeted to company officer development training programs, and Chief Wisco has been instrumental in helping formulate those programs. They've been well received and well attended as well. And then moving forward, a lot of you know we've been heavy onto the EV and energy storage system work. We just got done doing some research with Southwest Research Institute. We actually put several batteries in the thermal runaway. We had the materials tested post-exposure from the fires, and that information has not come out yet. The lead researcher on that is on vacation, so when he comes back in, He'll give us the written documentation of the contaminants that have been left over after liquid CO2 cleaning and normal extraction cleaning. Based on that information, we'll probably have that peer reviewed and then push that out for people to be aware of. That'll put into the hands of fire chiefs the information required to make an informed decision after their firefighters are exposed to products of combustion from lithium-ion battery fires, if the gear can be cleaned and put back into service or if it's going to need to be retired. Other than that, we're continuing forward with some different energy storage system conferences that are going on around the country. We've received approval to give what's called critical incident management training through FEMA under what's called the cooperative agreement at A&M. The cooperative agreement allows us to push this class out across the United States and its territories free of charge. FEMA pays for it. And it's to fill the gap for those who haven't taken the 314, which is enhanced unified incident management training. That's pretty much a second operational period form of training. Critical incident management is focused on the first part of the incident, where we go from single incident command and transition into unified command with a heavy emphasis of multidisciplinary response. And so we're getting ready to do our last pilot in Cincinnati, Ohio. We've done it in Birmingham. We've done it in El Paso. We've had very favorable reviews. And after we get the last pilot done in Birmingham, then we'll go ahead and put it on the street. And anyone who wants to get it, all I have to do is sign up for it. We go to the local jurisdiction to provide that. So it's completely different than the Enhanced Unified Incident Management, where you have to come to College Station. And that's all to report.
And for somebody that wasn't prepared to make a presentation, you knocked that out of the park. Okay. Thank you for that, Commissioner Coatman. All right. Next up is the Texas Fire Chiefs Association. Chief Malin.
Commissioners, thank you for having given me a minute. I'm Fire Chief in Cedar Park and President of the Texas Fire Chief Association. Membership is strong as ever, and we continue to have record attendance at all of our events. We continue to sell out most of our educational conferences. We've finished five of our eight conferences already this year in the majority of our company officer symposiums. We're really concentrating on education as a focus of the Texas Fire Chiefs Association, and then secondarily making sure we can share data information amongst other fire departments within the state, and just really hear if you have any questions.
Commissioners, any questions?
Thank you. Chief Wilson, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
All right, next up is the Texas State Association of Firefighters.
No report.
Okay. All right. We'll move on to the State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association of Texas.
If I may.
Sure.
Paul Hamilton, past president of the association. We had our conference in San Marcos, a huge success. We closed that down to a three-day deal, and it worked out real, real well for us. At Municipal School, we brought in, I think it was 11 staff members from legislation, and run them through some scenarios and put some gear on them and sweated them and got them scared and got them to listen to us a little bit and look at us a little bit. We're still working with the commission on the reciprocity, and there'll be a report later coming about that, but the membership for the SFFMA is way over what we were last year, and it's just booming. Training's going great. Certifications are up, and we're just having a large time. So if you need anything from the SFFMA, don't hesitate to call.
All right. Any questions for Commissioner Hamilton? Thank you, Commissioner Hamilton.
Yes, sir.
All right. Next up is the Texas Fire Marshals Association. All right. We'll move on to the Texas Association of Fire Educators. And we'll keep moving on to the Texas A&M Forest Service.
Chief Stillman, Commissioners, Chief Wisco, Wes Moorhead, Texas A&M Forest Service. I wanted to highlight a couple leadership changes that we've made in the agency recently, actually effective this month. Two leadership changes that affect this group and the touch points that y'all have are a leadership change we made in our professional development ranks. We have brought on a new department head charged with training and certifications. John Motzinger has assumed that role. John's been with our agency 19 years, so he is a veteran of the agency. He understands how the agency works and the importance of partnerships. So the team underneath John, the training team that most people are used to dealing with, will remain the same. But we are merging our internal and external training just to provide some efficiencies and some effectiveness. The other change that impacts this organization and the groups associated with it are the fire chief role that I have previously held is has been transitioned over to Jared Carnes. Jared's with me, behind me. He'll give the full report out for fire response. Jared's been with the agency for a while as well. If you've ever interacted with our dispatch, our emergency operations center, aviation, you've probably interacted with Jared. He knows all the players, knows the cooperators, and knows what the expectation is from the agency. Jared's going to serve in this role as an interim fire chief through the fall. We hope to permanently fill that probably November-December time frame. I'm going to be moving into a deputy director role for the agency, helping support Director Al Davis with some additional changes we're going to make in the agency and really pushing some new initiatives forward. So with that said, I'll hand it over to Jared for the full report out.
All right. Good morning. I guess before I give the full report out, I just want to give kudos to TCFP for the past several years. Chief Wisco's offered up folks to come help us out when we get busy with fires, and so it's been a good partnership and one that we've put a lot of value in and want to keep moving forward. So currently, we have, since August 1, we've had 29 fires for a little over 8,000 acres. We have 11 aircraft in the state, 6 TIFMIS strike teams deployed, and 3 EMTF packages. And moving into this fall, it's looking like it's going to dry out even more, and so we'll be fairly busy, we expect. So that's all I have, if there's any questions.
All right, Commissioners, any questions for Texas A&M Forest Service? Okay, thank you guys for that report. Next up is the National Fire Protection Association.
Well, good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to be with you. I do apologize first that we were unable to be here for your last two meetings. With the date changes, unfortunately, we were already committed to other events, and so that is part of why the new transition at NFPA will actually be helpful to Texas. So there's been lots of changes. Chief Wisco said I could not have the 3 hours that I needed to give you updates to catch up, but I did want to give you several things that have happened since January that will apply to y'all. One is you may have heard that NFPA has a new structure. So there are many things going on just nationally with codes and code-making bodies, both on the standard size and others. So NFPA is the umbrella organization. Within that, we have NFPA operations, which is our codes and standards side of it that does that work in the field. We have outreach and advocacy, which is the division that regional operations and public education and media all fall in. Then we have our research foundation. So NFPA has a 501c3 that does independent research. That's the third arm. And then in June, they launched what's called NFPA Global Solutions. And what that is it's a for-profit entity that will do contracting internationally. Basically, at the end of the day, what that does is it pays the bills for the organization. So it's very similar to UL. UL Solutions is the for-profit entity. Within the ICC, they have about 8 companies that are for-profit. And so this is all a result of what has happened nationally with code-making bodies. There are third parties that want to take intellectual property and post it online and sell it. So the things we produce, they take it, they put it online, and they sell it and make a profit from it. And if that happens, what happens is you have a third party that takes our stuff, puts it online, and you don't have the protections of getting it directly from the source. So me coming from North Carolina, I think, well, that doesn't make sense. But y'all, as you know, sometimes those things don't make sense. So it has gone to a federal lawsuit against all the standards organizations. And so there have been favorable and unfavorable outcomes as a result of that. And so there is a piece of legislation federally called the Pro Codes Act. And what that is it actually passed the House. It was championed by a North Carolina bipartisan, a Democrat and also a Republican. And what it did is it protects intellectual property from standards organizations. So ANSI, UL, NFPA, ICC, all of us are in this work. So that did pass the House, and now it is actually on the Senate side. It relates to you in Texas because your Texas senator is one of the sponsors of this bill to protect copyright protection. So we have a Texas representative and, ironically, a North Carolina representative, which is Tom Tillis, that are actually looking at this. So if you hear much about it, what that does is it actually protects any safety standards that are out there and says they should be copyrighted. So if you're a user of it, you can trust what you get. So we'll see where that goes. But in the meantime, NFPA is a 127-year organization. The fact that that could go away because there's no ways to fund the not-for-profit work we do is a little bit scary. So this gave them a financial stream, just like the other organizations, to be here for many years in the future. The Fire Prevention Week theme was announced this year. It's smoke alarms to make them work for you. We still find that the majority of consumers do not know that a smoke alarm, having a single smoke alarm or some smoke alarms, can make the difference in you dying in a home fire. And so this year's campaign did launch. You can find it at nfpa.org. Along with Texas and the work you're doing at TEKS, we know that lithium-ion batteries have huge ramifications. And so there is a brand new battery standard being proposed at NFPA, which is NFPA 800. It will be a code that applies to it. Currently, you have 855, which is an energy storage system code, but that is very different than a battery standard. So that work is beginning, and we would love for people from Texas to participate. So if you've ever thought about it, you can apply to be on that committee. We know with the amount of EV, e-bikes, and lithium-ion batteries that anytime there is a lithium-ion event, people need to be wearing respiratory protection. We know that that's a given, but you would be surprised as we kind of do this work around the country how firefighters aren't aware that even with a small cell phone battery, the carcinogens that come off of that, it's really important you wear respiratory protection. And there's hundreds of these items in this room probably. If we were all to take an inventory, most of us have two cell phones, a laptop, and other rechargeable things. But we certainly are pushing that work out. NFPA has partnered with the Infinity Series of NASCAR, and they're doing four outreach events. There's going to be one in Talladega, one in Watkins Glen, and one at Charlotte Motor Speedway, where you'll see that we have an FPW car. And so the car will be branded with FPW. The driver's name is Joey Gase, and so that partnership continues. The other thing is that here in Texas, you should be very proud that the National Educator of the Year was out of Greenville, Texas. Sylvia Peace is her name, and she was awarded at our national conference the Educator of the Year. So Texas, born and bred, representing y'all on the national stage. Sylvia actually created the Fire and Life Safety Educators and Coordinators Facebook page during COVID, and it has thousands of members and does tons of outreach. So we are very proud of the work that she's doing. We continue to push out information on micromobility. So that's going to be your e-bikes and e-scooters. I moved my daughter into school last week, and we found out during orientation that actually e-bikes and e-scooters were originally allowed to be stored inside of dorms, even when they're sprinklered. We actually have worked with the Campus Fire Safety Forum to actually push this out to universities, because just like we prohibit candles in dorms, e-bikes and e-scooters in a dorm are very dangerous because of the close proximity. If you were on an elevator with somebody and they're bringing up their e-bike, you would probably not, the sprinkler would put you out, but you just won't survive the explosion that occurs with it. And so we know this is an emerging hazard. The codes and standards won't catch up to that in time. And so universities have gotten creative. They have expanded the definition of bikes. And I say that to you because many of you have the ability through your colleges, and there are so many in Texas, to kind of push this out to the fire marshals and risk managers. They have expanded the definition of bikes, so it would prohibit bikes, e-bikes, and e-scooters from storage in dorms. And that has actually helped to provide another layer of protection. So that is an exciting way to get creative about making sure that students are safe, even though they're sprinkler dorms, just from the explosion risk. We did complete our first summit here in Texas. It was held in Flower Mound. Of course, the weather did not cooperate with us. It was in May, and so y'all decided we'd have some tornadoes here. So you can imagine our attendance was 75, which was pretty good for our first event. They are planning to do in North Texas an additional event. It'll be in May. And then in West Texas or South Texas, We'll be working with State Farm to put another fire prevention and educational event in the state of Texas to support that work in community risk reduction and also fire prevention. We just figured that we would partner with the Forestry Service, and actually on Friday was Smokey's 80th birthday. NFPA and the U.S. Forest Service partnered together, and I hope you were able to see that Sparky and Smokey actually celebrated his birthday together. There was a print that came out, and I was showing Wes that anytime you can collaborate with two national organizations, it's pretty exciting with those two characters to do work in the home and in the forest. So that was super exciting. You may have heard about in Tennessee, they have passed a single exit staircase bill. These are being introduced in legislatures all across the country. What that is in six-story buildings or less, they're recommended they not have two exit stairs, but rather one. And so NFPA has convened a single staircase summit. That is a free event. It will happen September 11th and 12th in Boston. We would love for Texas to have representation there. What they're going to do is they'll take a balanced look at the issue from actually the architect that has proposed it all the way to the fire service officials. There's been some of this movement in Seattle and other places, but it would be great for Texas to actually be at the table to hear the discussion, because we're finding that these bills are being introduced in your legislatures and sometimes they're slipping in without the fire service even knowing. The one in Tennessee went in on an energy bill and people found out about 15 minutes before and it just passed right on through. So we are trying to get ahead of this issue. It certainly is a life safety issue that we want to make sure we're thoughtful on whether that is an appropriate consideration for new buildings in communities. Also, you may have heard that OSHA is updating their regulations. There is a lot of information out there. We highly recommended that the fire departments comment on this. We've been asking NFPA, was NFPA driving this? And we certainly weren't. Actually, we found out at the same time that everybody else did that this was occurring, and we have some concerns about incorporation by reference and how they're doing it. Those have been expressed both at the national level through the formal process, and that public statement is on record for that. Also, there's some research going on around PPE and female gear. That is actually at a University of Florida and NC State for us Wolfpackers. That's in North Carolina. They have a huge textile program that's looking at firefighter fit. And so that research is continuing at University of Florida and NC State, as well as fire investigator PPE and the role of carcinogens in that. World Burn will actually be hosted here in Texas in October 2025. It's going to be in Grapevine at the Gaylord Hotel. There'll be about 2,000 burn survivors that will be here, and so we would love the fire service support of that. That is with the Phoenix Society for Burn Survivors. It'll be hosted in October of 2025. Also, two other events that aren't very far from you, but we want to make sure you're aware of, is in Tulsa on September 10th. There'll be a fire safety summit that will be held at Tulsa Tech, and you're invited to attend. It's not that bad of a drive from the northern part of Texas. For the rest of it, I know it may be a haul. And also in Alabama and Tuscaloosa at the Alabama Fire College, there'll be an additional event on September 5th. So those are free educational events that will be hosted. Also, Texas is going to be receiving fire prevention week kits, Sparky kits, and take-alongs. So if a State Farm agent actually reaches out to your fire department and says, we want to give you something, just say yes. There's no catch. I manage that relationship nationally, and so they're putting out about 4,800 fire prevention week kits across the U.S. in 48 states. And so if they call you, they legitimately just want to donate that to you for you to have for fire prevention week. Also, this is my last commission meeting, and so I want to thank you for the hospitality you've given me. I've worked in Texas for about 17 years, which seems crazy, back when Randy Safer was here, and he dragged me along, and I want to thank Chief Wisco and also Chief Stillman for the professional courtesy you've extended to me. Your new regional director will be here Monday. And so I'll be notifying you of that. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yep. Commissioners, any questions for Kelly? Kelly, thank you for your service to the state of Texas. You've been a great partner. I know you travel here from North Carolina to stand there and talk for 5 minutes. It means a lot that you're willing to go to such an effort to make sure that we're informed of what's happening with the NFPA. So thank you so much. Okay, next up is Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Clay Avery, Executive Director of the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, or SAFE-D for short. Kelly and NFPA are a tough act to follow. We don't have our NASCAR just yet ready for the race, but we are excited about Fire Prevention Week, and that's pretty awesome that they have that. In terms of SAFE-D, Emergency Services Districts, just as a reminder, we are governmental entities, political subdivisions of the state of Texas designed solely to get resources to first responders, be it fire and in some cases EMS. As such, being political subdivisions, a lot of our attention this time of year or this time in the biennium at least is going to turn towards the legislative session upcoming in January. We have a lot of stuff going on there. Obviously, as property taxing entities, we have to face some pressure from folks who are not as big fans of property tax, as well as the fact that we are capped at 10 cents per $100 valuation anyway. Many ESDs are turning to sales tax, but that puts us in a interesting situation with other local governmental entities that also collect sales tax. So we face pressure from a lot of sides as ESDs. One of the things we're doing and trying to be more cognizant of is the fact that a lot of people don't know what emergency services districts are, and we're trying to get the word out of what ESDs are and what they do, and the benefits of ESDs, which is why you're going to hear probably a similar version of this talk every time I get up here. I know we have some familiarity with ESDs on the commission. I see a couple ESD folks out in the audience today, so we're just trying to get more awareness of what emergency services districts can do, dispel some of the myths, and try to be more open to the public about what we are. With that said, our conference is coming up in February, February 6th through 8th at Kalahari up in Round Rock. We do hope to have the commission possibly on our agenda, Chief Wisco and or staff, presenting about the commission getting, because we want to build that relationship. ESDs, you know, the famous motto is if you've seen one ESD, you've seen one ESD. So we have ESDs that function just as career departments with full, you know, 100, 150 personnel that are regulated by the commission. And then we have ESDs that fund volunteer fire departments on a contract level that don't fall under the commission's regulation, and everything in between, combination, all of that. So we want to strengthen our relationship with the commission and have our ESD folks also understand the great work that y'all are doing, the great work that Chief Wisco and his staff are doing. We want to get that word out, so hopefully we'll be able to do that a little bit at our conference in February. Otherwise, I stand ready for any questions that you might have.
Commissioners, any questions for SAFE-D? Clay, thank you.
Thank y'all.
Next up is the Center for Public Safety Excellence. All right, we'll move on to the State Fire Marshal's Office.
Good morning, Commissioners. Chief and I wish she could have been here as we were walking out the door. The commissioner called and said, hey, we need to have a meeting on the LAR. So for those of you who know what that means, that's talking about money for next biennium. So that's pretty important. A couple of things going on with the State Fire Marshal's Office. We just yesterday concluded our SAW meeting, which is a science advisory work group. Some of you may remember years ago the Texas Forensic Science Commission reviewed the Willis and Willingham cases, found that we had convictions based on bad science, gave a list of 15 things that the State Fire Marshal's Office should instill and begin doing. One of those was having a peer review of our fire investigative cases. So we had a panel, we have 11 panel members. We had four in person to review six of our cases. We've not done this in probably over three or four years. So with Chief Knight and myself and the new leadership at the SFMO, it was vitally important that we get that put back into place. Another thing that's going on, some of you, be good for you fire chiefs that are in the room and across the state, if you had already reached your Class 1 PPC rating, you were not, for some reason, we were not going back out and recognizing that when you maintained that Class 1 at your resurvey. Chief Knight and myself, again, like, it's not right. These departments put in just as much energy for that resurvey and recertification that as they did to get that initial Class 1 designation. So we will be working with fire chiefs and cities going forward for us to come out and recognize your department and your community on maintaining that Class 1 rating. Next week, we'll be hosting a Vision 2020 Community Risk Reduction Data Analysis class here in Austin. The course was free. We have 28 community risk reduction data people from across the state that will be participating in this class. It was acquired through a grant with Vision 2020, and they'll be breaking down the past 5 years of INFRS data, showing those data analysts how to do that dissection to enhance their CRR programs. The September 18th, our Fire Marshal Discussion Series will be in Lubbock, and then December the 18th, we'll be down in Far, Texas. And then lastly, last week I came up and met with the TCFP compliance officers to get a better idea of how TCFP can help with a LODD response. A lot of things were learned during that aspect of what subject matter experts we have in the room with the compliance side. So we're working on building that relationship and taking a tag team approach if and when we have another LODD in the state, particularly in regards to PPE, air packs, and things that your compliance guys have direct subject matter expertise with. In that discussion also came up the fact of critical injuries. Departments have 5 days to report injuries to TCFP, and the question came up is, what if some of these critical injuries resulted in a fatality down the road, whether it's a few days, months, years, and where does the SFMO fit into that aspect? Well, it was we realized right quick that we're behind the eight ball. So going forward with TCFP and SFFMA, if in the event we get a notification of possible critical injuries, we will go ahead and initiate a report, start the process, get the event documented, just in the event that something does happen down the road, because it's hard to go 3, 4, 5 years back and try to recreate and document a scene that is no longer there. So with that, I'll take any questions.
All right. Commissioners, any questions for the State Fire Marshal's Office? Chuck, thank you.
Thank you all.
Next up is the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. And last but certainly not least, Firefighter Cancer Support Network.
Commissioners, if I may, sure. Curtis Dunn, our state director, he's got some previous commitments at FRI in Dallas, so he asked me if I could handle his brief report for him. They've gone through a lot of restructuring. The organization continues to grow, and financially they grow. So they kind of revamped. They took a lot of their board members and they created like an operation section that's made up of state directors and mentors. And then they created a standalone executive board to handle strategic planning and financial matters and all that. With that, I need to report to you that humbled to be requested to serve as one of their executive board members. Visited with Frank about that to make sure there were no conflicts. I did talk to Chairman Steelman about it, and I accepted the position, so I was elected to their board 2 weeks ago. So we now have some more Texas representation on their board. So Curtis will still be our state director, and he'll be here for these reports. He just couldn't make it today.
This is any questions? Thank you for that report. All right, we'll move on to item number 6.
Report from Commission Representative of the Homeland Security Council.
I have nothing to report. Their next meeting is September the 11th, which that's my 25th anniversary, so I will probably not be there at that meeting.
Totally understand. All right, we'll move on to item 7.
Subjects for future commission meeting agendas.
Commissioners, anyone have any topics they would like to see on our next agenda?
Well, we did discuss the issue about suicide. So if we can sort of add that in, just to kind of come up with some stuff about how we can better capture the data on firefighter suicide rates.
Okay. That certainly was a topic in our workshop yesterday. That's a good point. Anything else? Okay. We will move on to item number 8.
Discussion on future meeting dates.
Commissioners, our next meeting and our final meeting for this year is scheduled for Thursday, November 21st with a 10 a.m. start time. Anyone foresee any conflicts with that? And at that meeting, I anticipate that we will set the full meeting schedule for 2025. Okay, we'll move on to item 9.
Discussion and possible action on the vacant seat for assistant presiding officer for the commission. Mr. Chair.
So, commissioners, as you're aware, Commissioner Jones had previously served as our assistant presiding officer. With his step down from the commission at our last meeting, it's left that position vacant. I think normally what's been done in the past is we'll open up the floor to entertain to see if there's anyone that would like to be nominated to fulfill that role. And then we can have some further discussion if it warrants. So, with that being said, I'll open up the floor to see if anyone would like to submit a name for a nomination to serve as the assistant presiding officer.
I'd like to make a nomination.
All right, Commissioner Morgan.
I'd like to take the opportunity to nominate Commissioner Michael Glenn to the position of vice chair for the commission.
Okay.
I would second that nomination.
Okay. Are there any other nominations? Okay, then I would assume, Frank, that by acclamation that we can assume, do we need to vote, I guess? Since,
yes.
Okay, so commissioners, we have a motion and a second that Michael Glenn be asked or to fill in the role as the assistant presiding officer. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, I will ask that all in favor of that, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Congratulations, Commissioner Glenn.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You'll see an increase on your paycheck. For actually zero.
Okay, we'll move on to aisle number 10.
Matters referred to the commission from the Curriculum and Testing Committee, including A, report from the Curriculum and Testing Committee, and B, discussion and possible action concerning updates to the HAZMAT curriculum.
Commissioners, you're stuck with me. Pat McAuliffe and Louie Havens both had previous commitments that couldn't make it today. So they forwarded their report on to me, and I told them I would try not to mess it up too bad. Couple of items to report on from them. The first one is a HAZMAT update, and we'll cover that more in Section B, so I'll save that and come back to it. Well, the second one was the emergency manager certification. A couple of meetings back, TDEM approached and asked if you all would consider being the home for their emergency manager certification. You pushed that to curriculum and testing to work with TDM to figure out what that would need to look like. They're coming back in this report with a request to create an ad hoc committee that would be co-chaired by Louie Havens from the curriculum and testing and Ken Bell from TDM. And they would like to ask for members of the fire service and the emergency management world to apply for this committee, this ad hoc committee, to take a look at this, figure out if there's anything needs to be added. And the whole point is just to make sure they get input from every aspect of emergency management out there. So obviously the concern is that with the rule 463 about committees, the committee chairs are allowed to create ad hocs, but they need your approval to do so. And the second part is they've put together a two-page paper application. We had some conversation about that, or possibly we've had so much success with the online application, maybe having them work with IT to build an online app like we've done for the other committees, to try to expedite that and reduce the amount of paper we're using. So I think on that one particular topic, what they're looking for is some direction from you all, whether they can have this committee and how you would like them to take those applications.
Okay. Commissioners, open for discussion.
I would say that it would be a good idea, but I would like to go with the online instead of if they can convert that, or IT can work on that. Or.
Okay.
So would this require any action? Because if it does, I do have a question on the way the agenda wording is.
I think based on 463, and I just happened to have it, but I've got it on a different agenda item. Again, it allows them to have ad hoc committees under their committee.
Sure.
But it requires you guys to bless that. I'll read this one section to you. It's from 463. Actually, I'm sorry. It is from the internal policy. The ad hoc committee chair shall convene the ad hoc committee. The committee chair may have ad hoc committees, but would need to receive approval from the commissioners to place or to appoint that ad hoc committee. So they just need your approval that they could have an ad hoc committee work on the emergency management service.
So then I guess my question is going to be for Frank. Can we provide that approval based off of the wording in the posted agenda? Just
yes.
Want to make sure.
Okay. Yes, as long as it's on the agenda.
Okay. I don't think there's any discrepancy with the commissioners. Just I'm not hearing any bugs or sighs, but I just want to make sure we're doing it right. Okay, commissioners, any other discussion?
Chairman, does that require a motion?
Yes.
All right. I'm a motion for the curriculum testing committee to create that ad hoc committee.
Okay. I have a motion by Commissioner Smith.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Cantu. Is there any other discussion? If not, all those in favor signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed?
The motion passes.
I will report that back to Pat and Louie and let them know we need to work on an online application.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. So for 10B, I believe you read that one already. I can jump right to it. Okay. So hazmat curriculum. And while I'm talking, we've got a couple of comments for this one, so Amanda's going to pass that out to all of you for when we get to that point. As you know, NFPA is revamping all their standards. So what was NFPA 472, the standard on professional competence for responders to hazardous materials incident, it morphed into 1072, and at the end of the day now it is NFPA 470. So what the C&T committee did, they spent a lot of time reviewing the new standards and basically bringing it all together in one new curriculum. At the end of the day, the curriculum package, which is 255 pages of your notebook, if you didn't notice, there are a limited number of changes. The changes were in the references and in the missed my notes. In the references and also in the some of the reference material throughout the curriculum. So we did receive a comment on the reference material, and I'll give everybody a chance to read that. And I talked to the committee, and I have some answers. So, as you can see, the comments are from Woody Dunsett at San Jacinto College. And there's three of them, so I'll just take them in order. The first one, awareness no longer lists the essentials or the FFSS, though operations still does. The response I got from the committee is that the references they used are better references, specifically because they cover more of the JPRs. So they were more comfortable with the references they have recommended. The second concern for both awareness and operations about the more recent additions, the curriculum and testing agrees with this, and they acknowledge that they're going to have to do another update, and the problem that occurred that's going to require that is that the newer references were not available at the time that they were doing the curriculum redevelopment, so they didn't have them there to work with. They came out after they finished that. We're kind of behind on getting this one out, so they felt like, let's go ahead and get a revised curriculum out, and then they'll revisit that, citing the new references as best they can. The third concern that Woody brought up was that for the operations, there's more recent additions. Yes, and the committee feels, again, the references they're using are better references. They cover more of the JPRs, but they wanted me to reemphasize that any training facility can use any reference they prefer. The references cited in the curriculum are those that they feel are the best, and the only requirement is they have at least one copy of the cited reference available for a student to check out or use. So at no time would any college have to use the references they're citing. They would just have to have a copy available if somebody wanted it. But if they feel there's a better book out there, they're certainly free to use that. So those are the responses I got about 6 o'clock this morning from curriculum testing. So with that, there's nothing else to report on the hazmat curriculum.
Okay. Commissioners, any discussion or questions?
I have a question.
Mr. Wilson.
So on the revisit, Mike, how long would it be before they revisited for the update?
I think they'll give a month or two for the dust to settle, and they'll probably jump right back into that and start taking a look at it.
It'd be pretty quick.
When I heard from Louie early this morning, he said they were already aware of it, and now that the references are there, they're going to be able to do that. They just need the time to get their feet under them to do that.
Okay. Any other questions?
Are there any negative consequences for waiting?
I'm sorry?
Are there any negative consequences for waiting?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, as with any curriculum change, there are always going to be courses in progress at the time those curriculum changes take effect. Those courses running are running based on the curriculum that was in place when their TPA got approved. We'll start new courses based on the new curriculum when it takes effect, and any subsequent changes would apply only after they're in place and a new class has started. So maybe a little bit of confusion, but I think it, based on their explanation to me, that if they didn't have the material to look at when they were redeveloping it, it wasn't going to work. So I think it's one of those catch-22s there.
I just want to make sure I understood you right. On the curriculum, on the reference material, they only had to have the financial burden for the institution. They only had to have one copy.
They have to have one
available, but they can still use their previous information, and yeah, so that they already would have
in
hand.
If they feel there's a better reference, they're free to use that. They just have to have the cited reference from in the curriculum manual available if a student wanted to look at it.
Okay. Okay. Commissioners, any other questions? Mm-hmm. So is this, which
you all would have to adopt this again, curriculums only come in here once, yeah, just to be updated, so there's no need for a proposal period or any of that. It's just you need to bless it so they okay. We can go ahead and publish it.
Commissioners, having said that, I will entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Thank Hamilton, you. Second by Commissioner Wilson. Is there any other discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The motion passes. Thank you. All right, we will move to item 11.
Matters referred to the Commission by the Firefighter Advisory Committee. A, discussion and possible action regarding the 2023 injury report.
Commissioners, as always, Grace has done an incredible job on putting this together. You all saw it at your last meeting in May. It went to Firefighter Advisory because, as always, we're looking for recommendations to add to the back of it. So the only changes to this version from what you read in May Grace updated some final numbers, which changed a couple of the graphs just a little bit. She updated the executive summary and really returned to page 278 of your notebook. There's a box down in the center of that page. It's the executive summary. I want to point out some of the numbers that she cleaned up there because I feel like they're important to understand, and they were important to delineate. It shows the number of associated individuals in our database, which is 39,287. That may not be the number of certified folks, that's the number of people in our database. There are 1,778 total departments in our database. And so what you see is a breakdown after that. 825 of those are regulated fire departments. 953 of those currently are non-regulated departments. And a reason somebody would be non-regulated, either they were voluntarily regulated and then they opted to no longer be regulated by us, which is allowable, or they transitioned from being a paid department back to strictly a volunteer department, or they went away in general. And a lot of times that applies for standalone fire prevention offices and law enforcement agencies that may have done arson investigation and no longer do. But they remain in our system because at any time they could come back. And so the system keeps it, and it's very easy for us to turn that back on when it's necessary. The last number, there's 475 regulated training facilities at the time these numbers were entered. So that brings a total of 1,300 currently regulated and inspected entities. So while our system shows over 1,700, we're actually responsible for verifying compliance with 1,300 at this time. And I can tell you, we're adding, in one way or another, we're adding about 60 to 65 new regulated entities annually, whether those are returning entities or brand new. So that number is very fluid. But I wanted to clarify those numbers because in a lot of places you see a big number of 1,700, almost 1,800 departments. I wanted to clarify that not all of those currently are regulated. So anyway, that was one of the changes. Another one was we eliminated the bird's eye view, which you'll find on the following page, 279, I believe. Could have led to a little bit of confusion. At the original drafting of the report in May, there had only been one fatality reported. Now there's been two, so we went back and updated that number. I can't read my own notes. For cancer reporting, that's a voluntary report, but that number increased to 91 by the time we had this report ready to go for today. And Grace added the recommendations that came from the Firefighter Advisory Committee. We did receive an email yesterday with some suggestions for the injury report. So Amanda will pass those out to you. And after you have a chance to read that, I'm going to ask Rick Wallace, our compliance division chief, to come up and speak to those. I think they're both very, very positive and useful recommendations. And Rick could speak to them because we're kind of already doing it. But I just want to be clear about it.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Rick Wallace. I'm the Division Chief of Compliance and Investigations. We received this email, and a couple of things to consider. Number one, we spoke about the increase in burn injuries over the last year, as well as a steady increase in burn injuries specific to training facilities. our current practices when we talk to the training facilities is that if the individual is employed with a fire department, then that fire department is responsible for reporting that injury. If the individual is going through the academy and isn't sponsored by a department, then the training facility is responsible for reporting the injuries. And I believe what Woody's wanting to do is, if they're in a training facility, it doesn't matter if they're employed, not employed, sponsored, not whatever, make the notification through that training facility or do the injury report. This is most likely a really good idea because I'm not 100% convinced that we're getting good referenceable or usable data when it comes specifically to training facility injuries. So this might help streamline that process and help us identify some of the other things that are going on and potentially help those training facilities across the state in giving them good data and maybe making some recommendations on improving the safety within those facilities.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions?
But it did state that if that student was not able to continue with the daily activity, that has to be reported. Is that correct?
That's one of the recommendations he made. I'm not real sure that would be a good valid point to move forward. I think he was looking at the reporting requirement in general of losing a work period. I think we need to know about all injuries within training facilities because this is supposed to be the safest environment when it comes to the fire service possible because we control those conditions. So I think we probably need to take a look at all training injuries as a whole.
Okay. Mr. Vandergrift.
I guess would it skew the numbers if say he was an employee of the fire department going through the academy and both reported it, would we be able to clarify that was the same injury? So we don't have showing two injuries for one injury, basically.
I think we could work with Grace on that, and she's probably shaking her head now that I said that behind me. But I think we can clarify that with Grace. And then anytime that a investigable injury is entered into the system, it's automatically routed to the compliance division. And myself or our investigator, David Hooker, reviews that. So if we review information that's exactly the same or has to do with the event, then we're certainly going to compare those and make some phone calls.
Thank you. Mr. Cook.
I agree that reporting is valuable. The one challenge I see is the unregulated versus the regulated departments because most of the training institutions across Texas aren't linked to a particular department. Mm-hmm. We'll train volunteers, EST, municipal, and industrial firefighters, and some of those are non-regulated, so we will get a lot of data that comes in because it's the training facility that's mandated to report the incident. But some of it will be amongst our non-regulated sure. groups, which still has valuable data for us to be able to go through.
Both of these recommendations, as Rick said, I think we welcome both of them, and they are both internal policy and communication issues, and we'll certainly work to get the word out about that as long as you all are okay with that. I think he made two good recommendations, and I appreciate his comment.
Commissioners, any others? Commissioner DeVille.
Is there a way to give the incident when it occurs an ID number that can be tracked?
The system does that automatically.
Okay,
yes, ma'am.
So if that does, then a replication is going to show up if it shows up in two different places.
No, if both of them report it separately, it'll have two separate numbers. But as he said, as they're going through them, they'll recognize that they're seeing the same thing twice.
Okay.
So.
Right.
And I can tell you, it occurs on occasion already.
Okay.
Department will enter one and then maybe they stop and they go do something else and they come back and they pick up where they left off and they re-enter the same one. So that's a pretty, I'm not going to say it's a common event, but we're used to that.
It does happen. Yeah. Okay.
Commissioner Cook.
On the recommendations, the only thing I have to add is the new recommendation that's under there, recommend early screenings for prostate. Since these are just recommendations, I would recommend annual cancer screening because prostate screening, our skin cancer is 4-1 to prostate, and I think we need to be screening our firefighters annually for all cancers. And if we're just recommending it, we're not holding them accountable to it. I think it's good that we recommend what we see across the entire entity of cancer impacting the fire service.
Okay. So we'll just change that to cancer screening in general.
And I would say annual.
Okay. Grace, you got
as a recommendation.
Okay. So really, I guess at this point, we have a September 1 deadline of submitting this to the State Fire Marshal's Office. So at this point, I guess we're looking for approval from you guys to move forward with releasing this report.
Sure.
I would move that we approve it with the change made to make it an annual suggestion.
Okay, I have a motion to approve it with the changes noted. Do I have a second? I have a second by Commissioner Hamilton. Commissioner, great question. So Commissioner Morgan.
I have one other suggestion. So earlier in the report under cancer, it talks about recommending they report all cancer diagnoses. So just my concern would be somebody's going to skip down the recommendations, not read the whole report. I think we need to add that here as well, that they need to be reporting cancer diagnoses.
We can't mandate it. The law doesn't require that.
It's just a recommendation.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, we can certainly add that recommendation. Okay.
So I've got one other.
All right, Commissioner Moore.
So after all the talk yesterday about suicides, this may be too quick, but I'm questioning if it would be appropriate to add that recommendation here to report suicides as a recommendation only when the department is aware of the situation, so we can start to track that information.
I would second that.
And I appreciate that comment, and I'll tell you that staff, we're already looking into what that needs to look like and any possible changes to the reporting system. So kind of in anticipation of such a recommendation, we're already working on that. We're not done with that, but we're working towards that. So that we will certainly work on that.
Okay. So do we need to reframe your original motion?
I'll make the motion with changes as suggested.
Yeah, sure, Commissioner, Chief Mallory.
Yep.
I can just do it from here. I'm loud.
Come on.
As far as cancer,
no, we won't be able to catch on the system. All right.
But you are pretty loud, though.
I got that deep voice.
This is a process question. Like, we recently had a firefighter who was in remission has gone out of remission. So is that a new claim that y'all want a new notice of, or is the original notice sufficient?
I would think if you already reported, I would think you could just go back into that and update it.
Okay.
And if not, if it doesn't let you, contact somebody here and we'll be able to help you get that done.
The question he's asking is if it's a different type of cancer. In this case, it isn't, but if it is, would you want a separate report because it's a different type of cancer?
It would be best, yes.
I would say because we break the cancers down, right, and we check them by type, so certainly.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure we're clear on how y'all want it working.
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, so I'll circle back to the original motion by Commissioner DeVille. We captured the recommendations, okay, and then who seconded that? Commissioner Hamilton?
Yes, sir.
Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, I want to thank Grace and all the staff that supported on getting this done, and we will have it submitted on time.
Thank you, Grace. Okay. We will move on to item 11B now.
Discussion of possible action on proposed 37 TAC Chapter 469 technical rescue.
Commissioners, this is the second reading of this, and just an update. This committee did some amazing work early on, and because of some requests of the fire service, they wanted time to be able to budget for this because there are some departments that are going to consider mandating it. That's why we delayed this until now, so it'll have an October 1 effective date if it's approved today. I happen to know that there's a public comment or two, so we want to do that, and then we can follow up after that.
Okay, sure.
Howdy, Commissioners. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. My name is DJ Walker, and I'm the chair of that Special Rescue Ad Hoc Committee that he spoke of. I'm here today to make you aware that I think there's an error that's in your administrative code that's in your notebook today and the one that was presented to you in October. Your notebook in August had some language in it that talked about how there are two certifications. There's a rope awareness and operations and a rope technician. In that August notebook, the language contained a provision to allow for a combined test where an agency could choose to send an individual to a class and that contained both awareness, operations, and technician, and take one test that combines those two certifications together. In a meeting in July with TCFP staff, I noticed that that provision for an allowance for a combined test is no longer in that administrative rule. So I did some research a couple of days ago and followed the action through your commission, through the Firefighter Advisory Committee, and just a quick synopsis of that. I believe he may be handed out the short version of that synopsis to you just now. It came to you in August. You guys wanted to kick it back to the Firefighter Advisory Committee because there was some concerns about the definition language. It didn't have anything to do with the combined test. Firefighter Advisory took that up in September of 23. They took action and made changes to 469.1A and 469.2A, which are both the definition portions. And then their minutes reflect to move it back to the commission. You guys took it up in October of 23, and I looked at your notebook at that time, and that language for an allowance for a combined test was struck out. But neither the Firefighter Advisory Board made that action, nor did your commission make that action. And why that happened, I don't know. Maybe it was a file mix-up and what got shared, but nonetheless, that combined test allowance was removed. And the ad hoc committee, C&T, both took extensive efforts on the language of that to combine tests, and we feel pretty passionate that that's important to the state of Texas for agencies to only have to take one test for both of those certifications. And so what I'd like to request from the commission is to add that combined test language back the way that it was in August and the way that the Firefighter Advisory approved it. And then proceed with whatever process is required with that combined testing language. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Commissioners, any questions?
Do we know how that got?
No, there were a couple of different variations, and there was some concern in the beginning about to get the rescue tech, you're going to have awareness and ops, and there was some discussion back and forth at staff. And I think there was draft brought up, and then after a bunch of discussion we decided to leave it as it was, but what got submitted for proposal was the wrong draft, and that's an error on our part.
Nope.
What I handed out is the corrected language that DJ is talking about. You'll see it there, 469.203C, so it's almost at the bottom of that page, just above the .205. That's the correct wording, and I'll read it for the record. Successfully pass the commission examination for rope rescue awareness level and operations level combined with the technical level as specified in Chapter 439 of this title relating to examination for certification. So that's the correct language that should have been in there, and that's an error on our part.
So as the chair of that ad hoc committee, does that suffice for to fulfill your concern?
Yes, sir. That is.
Okay. Commissioner, any other discussion? Was there anyone else that wanted to speak to this? Okay.
See, did we just authorize the change in the wording?
I think so. In the way that you do the motion.
The motion with the change.
Mm-hmm. So, at that, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to change to adopt with the changes recommended.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Cutney, second by Commissioner Vandegrift to approve with the suggested changes. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Move on to item 12.
Discussion and possible action on the proposed edits to the rule review of 37 TAC Chapter 449, Head of Fire Department.
Commissioners, two meetings back now, I guess, it was brought up that at one of the regional meetings, I believe it was our one in Longview, Chief Steelman and myself were approached with an idea or suggestion of when somebody needs to get their head of department certification, currently they're required to attend either Firefighter Advisory Committee meeting or this meeting. The suggestion was to allow the regional meetings that we've been successfully conducting for the last 3 years to count towards that. And in you all's discussion in May, another suggestion was to allow attendance at any of the three committee meetings or a regional meeting or this meeting. So we went in and updated the language in 449, and you'll see it on the second page, 449.3, you drop down to number 4, and you see where that language has been updated to allow attendance at any of our specified meetings. So the commission meeting, any of the committee meetings, or the regional meeting would count towards our HOD.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Does the workshop fall in there in any way? Because I know that there was a fire chief here yesterday at the workshop. Specifically, he made the drive with the intention of that counting toward his HOD. I know it's not specified like
sure,
that.
Sure, it's not specified. It'd be up to you guys.
It is a meeting of the commission. Sure. I mean, all the commissioners were here, and we did discuss a lot of state business. But
we had an agenda.
So I just may be a point of clarification, or however the commissioners feel about that, if the workshop should count along the same lines as a regional meeting.
I'd see nothing from a legal standpoint where it wouldn't count, so as long as it's okay with the commission.
Okay.
I would think so. I mean, it's pretty in-depth discussion on those items, so.
Would we need to specify the workshop, or is that still considered just a meeting of the fire commission?
I would say we'd have to specify the workshop since it has a different agenda and it's on a different date and time and that sort of thing.
Okay.
We could probably just add workshop right after meeting there in that in that second line.
And I think the whole idea is to make sure that they're acclimated as a new fire chief with how the business of the fire commission kind of takes place.
Yep.
So I would ask for that one. That would be my ask, is for that one change to include that as well. If there's no objection.
None at all.
Okay. Is there any other discussion for this topic, this item? Okay. Seeing none, I will entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve with your change recommendation.
Okay. I have a motion by Commissioner Cantu, second by Commissioner Smith. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes. Item 13.
Proposed rule review for the following 37 TAC Chapter 403 criminal convictions and eligibility for certifications, and B, 37 TAC Chapter 421 standards for certification.
Commissioners, these are both rule reviews, and just not to drag this out, but just to rehash that, we're required to review all our rules every 4 years. We spent a great deal of time a couple of years ago playing catch-up. We completed that. And so staff recommended at the last meeting that we just start putting one or two on every meeting so we can stay ahead of that. So these are just the next two in line following our list of rules.
So, Commissioner, the floor is open for suggestions or ideas. I would suggest that consider sending these to Firefighter Advisory to let it be vetted at that level. Does anyone have any other suggestions? I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Okay. Have a motion by Commissioner Glenn.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Vandegrift that we send both of these items to Firefighter Advisory to have them reviewed. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Motion passes.
Ben has to ask you if you have a team.
Oh, sure. Okay.
All right. Commissioner.
Or sure.
Chairman, can we go back?
We can always go back.
We're going to have to go back. We're going to go back to 12449, please. Apparently, there's a mistake in our agenda that 449 was discussed at the last meeting and we were bringing language this time, so this is just a proposal. So your motion would be to propose this, and then you'll have to see it again in November.
Okay. So I will open back up item 12. and I will entertain
Commissioner Commissioner Cantu and Commissioner Smith have the reading.
Commissioner Cantu, would you like to amend your previous motion?
I will amend my motion.
Okay. So,
to adopt your language as a proposal.
Okay. And who seconded that?
That was me.
Commissioner Smith.
That's right.
And you agree with that as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. So we will send that to the Register for a proposal, and you'll see it again at your November meeting.
Perfect.
My apologies.
No, no worries. All right. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? All right. That motion passes. So I've been asked if we could consider taking a break. We've been going for a little bit, so the time is 10:15. We will adjourn until 10:30. Commissioners, please turn off your microphones. Can't even see the deal.
No, it'll probably be 11.
I was so afraid.
All right, the time is 10:30, and the meeting of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection is back in order. So we were at item 14 when we left off for the break.
Discussion and possible action on the recommendations from the member selection ad hoc committee regarding vacancies on the health and wellness, curriculum and testing, and firefighter advisory committees.
Okay. Commissioner Cody.
Good morning. So we have a short PowerPoint to go with this, but I just want to remind everybody, when we were tasked with looking at all the different advisory committees that we have, one of the components of that was bringing on new members. And so the first several meetings we had were to build an online accessible application site. And Commissioner Johnson took on that lead role and did it. So these first few slides show that. If you come to the website, similar to what we talked about for the new ad hoc committee that we're looking at under the curriculum and testing group, you'd be able to go in here, highlight it, click on it, and go to the next one, please, Grace. And, for instance, the Health and Wellness Committee, you'd be able to do it if you're interested in applying. It has a brief overview of what the committee is. You'd hit apply. It would go to the next slide. And then you'd fill out your application. The applications, like all applications, one more slide forward, please. Basically, incorporate everything about the demographic information for who's ever applying, what department they work with, their experience, years of service, all this is incorporated into it. And then after we got that online, our next tasking was then to solicit applications. And the first committee we solicited for was the Health and Wellness Committee. And I'll talk about the other committees in a second, but here's the list of this ad hoc committee. It's Commissioner Wilson, Commissioner Glenn, Commissioner Johnson, Commissioner Smith, and myself. So we met several times to create the application for the online, and then after that we solicited it. We were very fortunate. Can you go one more forward, please? We received 57 applications for the positions. You can see the structure of this is that for a single vacancy, we request no more than 5 candidates for a single vacancy, and following that, it's 2 for each vacancy moving forward. So for us, we have 4 existing vacancies, but we have a 5th one that is on that bubble of 120 days. It's just outside of that. So what we were looking for were at least to be able to identify 13 candidates that we would bring to recommend forward to you. And the other challenge we had is because of the gaps that we see with the other two, the advisory board and the curriculum testing committee, we realize we're going to have to domino fill in vacancies pretty quickly. And so we were going to make a recommendation to this board also about having or creating a standing list of either 1 or 2 years for members to be on this. Could you go forward one more time? So when we went through it, I mentioned already that we had 57 people put in applications for it. This is very close to the 60 number that Chief Wisco had thought that we'd put in for it. I was actually very happy, as was the other members of the ad hoc committee, because there was significant interest in it with very varied backgrounds that were beneficial to this. The areas we looked at were experience in health and wellness, either physical or mental health, current or past program development or involvement. So if they were a health and safety officer in the department, or if they were LPCs, these types of backgrounds we were looking at. Related certifications beyond TCFP certifications, because pretty much at the level people are applying for, a lot of them have very similar certifications in there. And then overall experience with the fire service. One thing that is not on this list, but we did consider, is geographical areas of the state also. We tried to balance the coverage out of the state where possible. But we're always going for the most qualified candidates as well. Could you go to the next one, Grace? So I already talked about this, about the top four. When we looked at this, actually when you see the list, it comes up, the top five candidates were unanimous selection by the committee. We sat down, we did this virtually, we had a series of meetings, and then we had a final meeting when it came to actually doing the selection process. There were five candidates that were unanimously selected, and then there's the remaining eight were by consensus of the committee. One more, Grace. And so here's where you'll see the listing. On the top five, Ms. Watson, Dr. O'Neill, Chief Story, Mr. Albright, and Mr. Anderson, those were unanimously selected by the committee, and then below that is consensus. So what we would like to do is bring this forward to the commission for consideration of filling the vacancies, the four vacancies, and have a discussion about would it be possible to create a standing list for the remainder of these the remainder of the candidates on there, the other nine that would remain on there to fill future vacancies that may pop up. This will allow us to be more expedient in filling not just vacancies on here, but the other two committees that we have standing that we'll have to address in the coming months.
Okay. Commissioners, the floor is open for comments, discussion. I know we talked about this briefly in the workshop yesterday. Happy to hear any thoughts or ideas that you have regarding Commissioner Coakley's suggestion.
I agree with it 100% from doing the firefighter a couple of years ago. I applaud the online application and the means and the speed in which this was taken care of. And as far as filling those are empty slots at this time, especially the first four, I would recommend that we would take care of that and then keep these people on the list for at least 2 years.
Okay.
I think it speaks volumes that you have the vast variety of people that looked into this, the committee, and they came up with those names individually. And so I think we honored their knowledge, experience, and recommendation, and we move forward with those names and keep those others on the list as well.
Okay. Any other comments? Commissioner Cook?
The only other comment I have is we are also going to need to, right from here, once this is approved next week, I'd like to see us advertise for the Firefighter Advisory Committee, and then 30 days after that advertisement goes out, I'd like to see us advertise for the Curriculum and Testing Committee, because we're at a critical point in the staffing of both those committees.
Sure.
Okay. We can make that work. I know the applications for both are ready, so I guess we'll make sure there's no hiccups in that, and next week we can post for Firefighter Advisory. We'll post it for 30 days. When that ends in mid to late September, we'll turn right around and post the Curriculum and Testing, but we'll start the process on Firefighter Advisory, sharing it with the existing ad hoc committee and get that started.
So, Commissioners, I'll just make a comment. I'd like to thank the members of the commission that started on this committee. I know there was it was been a journey, and we've been working on this for a couple of years now. This is our last big ask, I believe, from our last sunset review, to check that box that we've established this process finally, after a lot of healthy and good discussion. We've learned a lot about how these processes can work, and I think we've customized one that I think hopefully we all are all in agreement is in the best interest of the Texas Fire Service as far as going forward and being able to engage people from across the state in the work of what happens here at the Fire Commission. That's the part that's most exciting for me is delineating that so that everybody understands this is how we do that. I think that was the big question with Sunset, is it probably changed from time to time to time. And having this established process clarifies it for everybody to know this is how we do this part of our business. So if there's not any other discussion, I think I'm at the point of being able to entertain a motion based off of Commissioner Coatney's recommendation, as is. So I have a motion by Commissioner Smith, a second by Commissioner Hamilton. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed?
That motion passes. Thank you, Commissioner Cody.
And I'd just like to say thank you to the members of the ad hoc committee. They made the process very easy.
Absolutely. Commissioners, I will put together a letter to notify all the applicants, notify the four that have been appointed now, and then I will reach out to the existing Health and Wellness Committee members with their new members and ask them to hold a meeting because they have not been able to meet for over a year. So we'll get that going.
Okay.
And I just want to add in real quick. I just want to say thanks. I know what people say, you know, Michael Johnson, you know, helped put this together, and I try to just sit here and stay quiet. I don't typically say anything, but, you know, I'm glad to be of service to the commission, but I also want to definitely thank the IT department, because once I put that idea together, they looked at it, and they was able to put it together exactly like I was envisioning it. So I really want to thank the IT department for their help.
Thank you for that, Commissioner Johnson. I know this was probably the first item in your first meeting, and you jumped into it with both feet. I mean, that was...
It's like I landed at the right time.
Yeah, yes, you did. But no, thank you for that comment about staff. I know our staff is great, and they work really hard behind the scenes, and especially something like IT, they don't get a lot of credit. They mainly get cussed at a lot when things don't work. So thanks to them, as always. Okay, we'll move on to item number 15.
Matters from the agency chief, including A, update regarding agency duties and responsibilities, B, decision of the agency chief in contested cases and consent orders, C, status regarding division functions, including training approval and testing, test administered training approvals, record reviews and online training audits, certification and professional development, including training applications, IFSAC seals issued, certifications issued, training facilities, curriculum development, library resource requests, then compliance, including biennial inspections, compliance officers training, issues involving regulated entities, and finally information technology, including public website design, farm and phyto improvements, CAPS, IT security policy, and service requests.
Commissioners, I'll try to keep this to an hour, so I'll just take them one at a time. So 15A, updates. Happy to report that in the last LAR, we asked for or granted funds for a dozen staff vehicles. All 12 vehicles are on the road. That last one hit the road Monday. So happy to report that we're on the road and running with that. All the issues that come along with having a fleet are live and well in the agency.
We've already had our first fleet accident.
We've had more than one and plenty of issues.
Somebody had to do it.
It's going to happen, and we got there. So we got that out of the way now, so we're good to go.
That's good. No one was hurt.
Yeah, nobody was hurt. Second thing to report, and you heard earlier from Chuck Allen, the State Fire Marshal's Office, we're working very close with them to improve not only the injury investigation process, but also assist them with the line of duty deaths if and when one occurs. So looking forward to working closer with them. At the same time, a couple of months ago, we initiated some conversation with our partners at TECO and Dishes to talk specifically about mental health, suicide, cancer, all those things that are involved across the board. Law enforcement, a couple of sessions back, had some mandated mental health training and things to check. EMS has been doing it for quite a while now through CE and through initial training. The fire service, we're talking about it now, but we really haven't set anything in stone yet. So my hope was to learn from their mistakes and their wins. And so what has evolved is we're meeting monthly now, and we have brought in three different universities. We brought in Texas A&M, the University of Texas Health Sciences out of Houston, and Sam Houston State to kind of bring the work that all three of those are doing, along with what TECO and Dishes are doing, to come up with something that would work for us, but to kind of feed off of what they're doing. And maybe we have one universal system that works for everybody. We're making remarkable progress. We've got another meeting coming up September the 10th, I believe, and hope to have something to report back to you in November. But the ultimate goal here is for us to collaborate, come up with something that works across public safety, and then take that idea to the legislature and ask them to support it, as opposed to waiting for them to mandate us to do something that then we have to react to. So we're just trying to get ahead of that. We acknowledge that the fire service is lagging behind, but the discussion yesterday about suicides, and then again today, injuries. I think it's all relevant and important, and we're working quickly to try to resolve those concerns. Next thing I want to update you on, you asked us to study reciprocity for SFFMA. Once I got out of the way, staff is off and running with that. I can tell you today that they have already completed a review of the skills, and we started out with basic firefighters. So right now they're looking at basic firefighters. They've done a review of the skills. All of the SFFMA skills are equivalent to, if not a little more in-depth, to what we're doing. And so we see no issues there, and they're currently reviewing the actual curriculum and the exams and things like that to make sure we're in line there. The hope is they finish that review, they'll bring a recommendation, I'll bring it to you, and I think we'll get started pretty quick on the basic firefighter, and then that'll allow us time to look at all the other certifications that SFFMA offers that we already post and figure out what that reciprocity looks like there. Certainly a lot of things to be considered, and we're considering all of that, but they're making great progress, and I applaud them for that. And they were right. Once I got out of the way, they were able to get to work, and so I'm going to let them work, and I'll keep updating you. I'll bring that to you as we succeed. You heard from the Forest Service. We've got a great partnership with them, and as they have TPS activations across the state, whether it's wildfires, hurricanes, any kind of severe weather. Once they reach a certain threshold of the number of TIFMIS assets on the road, we send a member from the commission, typically from our compliance team, to staff their EOC and help track those resources. And we're able to do that under the auspice of TIFMIS, so our expenses related to that are recoverable when we submit those requests to TDM, and we've had good success with that. That takes a lot of staff time behind the scenes, and Amanda and Cliff and Rick, and they all do a great job of getting that, and so we're happy to continue that. Our regional meetings, we've got a few left. We'll be going to the Panhandle next month, and then we wrap up in October down in the southeast part of the state. So the schedule, those meeting dates and locations are available online. The last thing, and I want to give you a handout, it's LAR season, if you didn't know that. And that means it's time for us to go ask the legislature for more money. They were very gracious to us last session. I figured I didn't want to stall any forward progress, so I'm going to go back and ask for more. What Amanda's handed out is the an explanation and a list of what we're submitting. That submission will go in, tomorrow's the deadline, and we'll have it in on time. And there's an opportunity in January to come back with any additions or corrections or anything. But what you'll see outlined is essentially a $1.6 million ask. I think the most significant in that you'll read, because of the number of injuries we're seeing and because of the number of investigations that we actively have going on, we've reached a point in time where we need to split compliance into two divisions, have a compliance inspection division, also an investigation division. So a bulk of that request is outlined in there for you to see. Our first joint budget hearing has been scheduled for September 16th. Basically what that is, it's just our opportunity with LBB staff to lay out our request and answer any initial questions they have going into the session. So I'll keep you apprised. I would also like to ask for your blessing once we submit our LAR. I would like to publicly release that document I put in front of you to the fire service, because I asked last year, and I'm going to ask again, if they review it and they feel like there's something they can get behind, I would love for them to reach out to their elected officials and ask them to support us. And so I would ask for your support in being able to do that. It doesn't require a vote or anything. I think just everybody shaking their head telling me if you have any concerns. That's it for A. I did that quicker than I thought. So B, decisions in contested cases, there have not been any. I do want to brag on our staff, especially compliance and our legal staff here. We work really hard to not reach the point of contested cases. We know that compliance is everybody's favorite thing to do. And so we try to go in and educate and work with them and walk them through the steps and help them understand it. And we try to be very reasonable and supportive in that process. So we continue to be successful in not having contested cases. So while this is a requirement to report them to you, I'm happy I still don't have to report anything. And that's a testament to the staff's work. As far as 15C, enclosed in your notebook, you'll see the report from each one of those divisions. Just real quick, highlight a couple of things. From testing, over 9,000 exams in the last quarter. I can tell you the pass rate continues to climb, and I think that's a testament to the work of our curriculum and testing group. We're always working to improve that. We work with them, and they're doing a great job. Most of our exams are now conducted online, another success, because that frees up our staff's time that they're not having to go out and proctor exams, and they can focus on other areas. 188 record reviews. You know, this was a big deal. When I first got here, and for our first couple of years, we were just inundated with folks trying to come to Texas and looking for reciprocity, and we spent a lot of time. This is probably the highest number we've had in a quarter in some time, but we've refined that process, and that's working a lot better, too. And then, you know, one of our deficiencies and one of the things we're hoping to approve with this LAR request that's in front of you, we were only able to conduct three online training facility audits last quarter. That's because we really only have one person doing that. And so another one of our requests in the LAR is to add a couple of additional staff members. What we did start doing is cross-training our certification staff and our testing staff so that they can work hand-in-hand during the busy seasons. We'll continue to do that, but we do need some more training facility auditors on staff, and so hopefully we can do that. We continue to add online testing centers, and you'll see in the report we brought on three more, and I think we're working on two or three as we sit here. The fire marshal certification, we're quickly reaching the end of the first year where they can apply to take the test based on what they have, and we have a pass rate that has maintained itself right around 94-95% for that fire marshal exam, and there's over 1,500 certified fire marshals out there now just in this first year. So the last day that they'll be able to take an exam is August 30th, and we've completed the sign-up for that, and everybody's knocking those tests out. So starting September 1, they'll have to go through an entire class based on the curriculum we have. And again, that's something that the United States is watching us. So I think we've had this success, and that curriculum's out there now, so who knows? We might influence the rest of the country on a fire marshal certification. Another document we put in there just for your knowledge is kind of a testing graph, a score graph that you can see how our test scores are going. All our divisions are busy every day, and they're getting a lot of great things done. Certification, you'll see the report from them. Compliance provides you a graph and tells you a lot about what they're doing. You know, the biggest thing with compliance is there's just no way right now with 9 folks in compliance. One of those is Rick Wallace, the division chief. The other one is our full-time investigator now. He maintains anywhere between 20 and 30 active investigations at any one time. So the other 7 are left to handle those 1,300 entities that we regulate. And by law, we're required to do biennial inspections. That's going very well, even though we're telling them we're coming. We still find problems, and that's to be anticipated. And we spend a lot of time now helping them correct those and understanding what goes into that. But it kind of supports and leads to the LAR request of some more staff and breaking out that investigation component from compliance so we can focus on that some more. A lot of those investigations turn into pretty extensive investigations, and we have to pull additional compliance officers from their inspection duties to go participate in those investigations. So we're reaching that point. I mean, the fire service is growing. We're trying to stay in front of the increase in injuries and figure out how that's happening, so the workload keeps growing. What we do owe is the fact that we're probably 40 to 50 inspections behind as far as being within that 2 years, and they work every month tirelessly to catch up and stay on top of that. But we're not that far behind. You know, we might be 1 or 2 months behind, but they're staying on top of it. So we hope for good things out of the next session. And that's it. I'm done unless you have any questions.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions? Chief, let's go. Okay. Thank you for that report. All right. We will move on to item 17. I'm sorry, item 16. I got off page. Stand by.
This is always the one I fear the most.
Yep. All right. Yes, item 16.
Personnel matters regarding the appointment, employment, compensation, evaluation, reassignment, and duties of the agency chief.
Commissioners, anything on 16?
Okay,
safe again.
See you in November.
We'll move on to item 17.
Recognition of Commissioner Wilson for his service to the commission.
So as many of you know, this is Commissioner Wilson's last meeting with us. As is customary, we would like to present him with a couple of parting gifts for his service to the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. I got to say, I've known Rusty for several years. I believe the first time I ever met him was when he was serving as an assistant fire chief in Irving.
Yes.
And he taught my fire officer 3 and 4 class. And that's when I really got to know him. Had the fortune after that of serving for several years with him as a board member for the Fire Chiefs Association, and then certainly our time here together at the commission. I can tell you that he's whether he knows it or not, he's kind of been a mentor to me. I've kind of followed him and looked at his pathway, and he's a man of his. He's very strong in his convictions and his principles, and I've always respected that about him, and he's always exhibited that here in his work at the Fire Commission. So, Rusty, on behalf of your service to the Fire Commission from August of 2019 to August of 2024, we'd like to present you this plaque as a commemorative token of your service, as well as a prettier desk TP for you.
Oh.
So hopefully you'll display those in your home or your office and have fond reflections of the time that you spent here serving the state of Texas. So it's been a pleasure to serve with you, and thank you. And I'd like to give you the opportunity to make some comments if you'd like.
Well, gosh, where do you start?
I'm going to give you all that right there.
Almost 36 years, and I've had the privilege to serve in 3 different departments with Irving, and 27 and a half years there. Then spent some time down in Katy, and got the opportunity to go back home and serve in Mesquite, near where my wife Lisa was raised. So took that opportunity and went back to Mesquite, and have been serving there for the last few years. Bittersweet. It's hard to leave, but I've got a grandkid to chase around, and my daughter has moved up to that area, and I've got a grandson that's going to be 5 in December 16th. He is a live wire, and he is a pack of dynamite, and I tell people often, God has blessed me with a wife that would never ask me to do this, but she's trying to watch after him while my daughter's at work, and man, that's a full-time job. He has more energy than both of us, but I told her, I've been doing this 36 years, and she's supported me every step of the way, and a lot of y'all know her because you've seen her accompany me at conferences and workshops and so forth. She's not going to have to ask me. I think it's my turn to support her a little while. So we're going to accomplish this endeavor together and chase him around and keep him corralled. So I plan to spend a lot of family time. I appreciate all of my colleagues here, all of my fellow commissioners. I appreciate the fact that Governor Abbott and his selection committee gave me the opportunity to serve at a state level. You know, it's one thing when you get to serve the citizens of your jurisdiction, but when you get to serve the citizens of the state, and to do that and then serve other fire chiefs as a member of the executive board with the Texas Fire Chiefs Association for so long, who gets that in a career? You know, I mean, who gets to do all that? And it's been a wonderful time. So it's bittersweet leaving, but I'm looking forward to the next chapter, so thank you all. Appreciate it. And I don't want y'all to get off without us getting a picture together after this, too. So thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Rusty. Okay, we will move on to item number 18.
Adjourn the meeting.
I'll entertain a motion. Rusty?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Commissioner Wilson.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Coatney. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here with us today. The time is 10:58, and this meeting of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection has ended. Commissioners, please turn off your microphones.
This is what I do.
Yeah.
They can't.
Yeah, we can get them together.